telling these people, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, presenting our body means to have our whole being ready to serve God at any time and any moment. Not just once in a while. Not just to church on Sunday morning. Not just to church on Wednesday night. But any time that God calls, we need to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I preached on that. All seven churches in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, every one of them got the same message. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I believe what the Spirit has to say to the church more than anything else right now is for the church to get up and present themselves to God and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's what I made up my mind when I got saved, Lord. I'm yours and you're mine. And whatever you say, you're in charge. I'm not in charge, you're in charge. Whatever you want to do with my life, here, take it, and I'll be willing to submit myself to you, and I'll be willing to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Now the next verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Too many people today have had good experience with God and lost it because they are now conformed to this world. I want to tell you, this world will get you in trouble, but Jesus will get you out of trouble if you get in trouble. But we don't want to just spend all of our time getting out of trouble and begging him to get us out of trouble. We need to spend some time saying, Lord, I'm offering my service to you. What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to do tomorrow? I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. I'm going over that again. Which is your reasonable service. Now he says something else. And this proves the will of God. Here, how many wants to be in the perfect will of God? Here's the next verse. We'll tell you something about it. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the rest of it. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to get that over to you here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we don't renew our mind every day or two, we're going to get it so cluttered up by the things that goes on around us, we have to get somewhere and renew our mind. How do we do that? We pray. I pray till I speak in tongues. That's the way I renew my mind. I pray and I pray and I pray until my mind clears. And then I'm a person that can present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's my reasonable service. And I will not be conformed to this world. I've made up my mind. Whatever the world comes to, it's going to do it on and on. I'm not going to help it. Make up your mind. You're not going to help the world get along the way they want to get. And be not conformed to this world. Now, I want you to notice that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, there's a lot of folks hasn't renewed their mind in no telling how long. Haven't got where, you know, so they're always thinking, you know, you'll have trouble in your mind till you renew your mind. When you have something that comes against you, you'll have trouble until you get over it. And the way you get over it, you renew your mind by praying in the Spirit of God. Jude verse 20, ye brethren, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean just get down there and mumble a few words and say, I hope you heard me, Lord. I'll tell you, that means to get down there till God hears you and you present yourself and say, here am I, Lord, send me. One of the writers said, here am I, Lord, send me. Somebody said, I don't know where he's going to send you. He ain't no telling where he'll send you. He may send you someplace that you don't want to go. I've had God to send me places I didn't want to go, but I had to go anyhow. Because God said for me to go. He spoke it to my heart. He spoke it to my mind. He confirmed it. And I already told him, whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to do. I'm going to hear what you say. Matthew 7:24 said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended, when the flood came, and it beat upon that house, it stood because it was built upon the rock. What built that church on the rock? Hearing and doing. Whatsoever you hear, you do it. Hear and do. That's the cadence. I preached a message one time, you know, it's kind of like marching in the service. In the military, you know, you hear, you do, you hear, you do. It's kind of, you left, you right, you left, you right, you left, you right. You're walking with God. Hear, do. That's the cadence. Just like the military, it's your left, your right, your left, your right. And you hear the command of the sergeant or whoever is giving the cadence. You hear his command to the left flank turn, right march, and or to the rear march, whichever way. And when you do that, you build yourself a reputation as a good soldier, obedient. Now, by the renewing of your mind, why? I've always been an inquisitive person. I want to know why. When I was a child, I nearly run my parents crazy. Where they ever said something, I want to know why. And I still want to know why. Now, I beseech to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to know why. And why not, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, most of you held up your hand. You wanted to be in the perfect will of God. Well, you have to be willing to go anywhere, any place, any time. And whenever God speaks, you have to hear what the Spirit has to say to you because you're part of His body, and you have to do that, whether we want to or not, because we have to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Jude said, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Somebody said, the devil just after me all the time. Well, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. I'm going to tell you, he's knocking on everybody's door every day, if you just know it. But some folks knows how to rebuke him. We submit ourselves to God, we resist the devil, and he goes away. But he'll be back. He's a visitor that always comes back. But it don't take long to get rid of him when he finds out that he can't cross that line and that you've submitted yourself to God and that you have presented your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and it's your reasonable service. After a while, he says, I don't go around there too often, but I'll drop by once in a while, see if I can tempt them a little bit. Now, come on. And when you to do what Jesus done, get behind me, Satan, and you move on and you keep on moving on, he gets discouraged. Somebody said, I'm discouraged. The devil's been taunting me. Well, we should make the devil discouraged. If we'd all just get together and do what God's word said, I'll tell you, the devil would get discouraged. Wouldn't that be great? Huh? That'd be great. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And while you get there, 2 Peter chapter 1, I brought that out maybe the other night. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, according as his divine power, he has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that called us were to glory and virtue. I want you to notice what it said, according as his divine power. It's according. I want to latch on to a word here tonight, according. According. Now, it's according. According as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be protectors of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now we want to turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3:20, and we want to get in another according here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. How many would like to be in a position like that? We just ask and he's just able to do so much. We ask or think. Listen to it. Unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according. Now there's that word according. Let's say according According to what? The power that works in us. Now, it didn't say according to the power. It says the power that works in us. According is his divine power. Now, here we find this, that it's according to the power that works in us. Now, he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can even think or ask. But how? According to the power that works in you. Now, it's in you. Now, God just kind of laid this in my spirit. This according, the power that works in us, that doesn't mean that we have that power on our own. Now, we'll take electrical appliance here, and it's got a high voltage out there somewhere or other that brings it in, and whatever you hook it onto, it's not wired upright according, then when you plug it in, what happens to the instrument that you're trying to? Oh, it blows up, don't it? How many wants to blow up? No. Now, it's according to that power that works in you. So if you're wired up for the power to work in you, I hope you get this. If you're wired up with God to the power that works in you, then he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask or think because of the power that you're wired up to receive, and it's his power, not our power. Huh? Oh, boy, you got that. I can just look at your face and see you got that. That it's not your power, it's his power. It's not my glory, it's his glory. It's not my way, it's his way. He said, I'm the way. It's not my power, but it's his power. And he's able to do exceeding and abundant above all I ask and think according to that power that I'm wired up to stand. You know, I'd like to get into up to about 440, wouldn't you? Huh? Well, I'd quit fooling with 220 and 110. I'd like to get up to 440. If I get up to 440, we will have a time, won't we? And if you all join in with me, we'll really have a time because every time somebody joins in this, it gives them more power. Where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst. And whatever two ask in the name of the Lord, brother, it's yours. Me and you agree upon something, we're supposed to agree on. Now, if we're wired up right. You know, if we shake hands and we're not wired up right, it's just we shake hands. And I hope you do it, Lord. No. What he's saying, I want you to get wired up so I can put power through you. According to the power that works, that will work in you. God, give me that. I like to jump over the wall. I thought, my Lord, what we're missing. We're missing so many things in the Bible. Now, so there's different things that God wants us to pick out and get into strongly. So let's take a look at it here. We're going to go to the ministry. What is it that God has put in the church to cause the gifts and all this thing to work in the church? Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I quoted that one a while ago, chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. But then he comes on down in chapter 4 and he tells us about the gift to the church. The gifts. And verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And I'll tell you what, it's mighty hard on the evangelists anymore. Because they don't want evangelists. They want somebody to teach them something. And lots of the teachers don't know how to teach anything. I hate to say that, but it's true. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what is Brother Eversole in this church for? And why am I in here right now? And why am I going to be in the next church I go to? And on and on and on. Here's why, what we're supposed to be. Now, he's a pastor. He's over you. He's over the flock here. Huh? I'm here to feed the flock and do the work of an evangelist to get you stirred up. And if I could stir you up, I hope you stay stirred. You know, the Bible said, stir up your pure mind. Stir up your pure mind. And he said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, here's the reason it is for the perfecting of the saints. You know, I'm standing up here yelling and hollering and preaching loud and everything to try to bring a perfection to the saints. That's my duty. That's my duty to add what this good brother here has already got established here. Add to it. When you join two together, it doubles, don't it? So these prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, these ministries are put in the church for the perfecting of the saints. What else are they put in there? For the work of the ministry. Now, you don't know how the ministry is going to work from night to night. I'm happy with whatever he wants tonight. I don't have to run the show. What God wants you to get you all happy and you're going to jump up and shout, you just go right ahead. I'll probably shout with you. Huh? Or if you just want to raise your hands and pray and let the tears flow, I know I'll do that with you. Because I love to weep. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'll tell you what, we need to get off sometimes to clear our mind, to clear our innermost being out. We need to just get out and have a good old weeping time. I do that every day or so. I got to have my time of just getting out with the Lord. There ain't nobody else around but me and him. He blesses me and I weep. He corrects me and I weep. How many knows this? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Look it up, see if it ain't there. Now, these men have come into the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, to feed the body of Christ, to strengthen them. And how long are they going to be there? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Boy, that'll be a great one morning. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, God wants to get us up to the measure, the stature, more like him. That what we should strive for is not be more like somebody, but to be more like him. I want to be more like him. How many wants to be more like him? Raise your hands and say, Lord, I want to be more like you. I'm not copying somebody else. I'm trying to copy the Lord. Amen. And if I can just get part of me being more like him, then I'll feel better. And tomorrow I'll get a little better and a little better. And it grows and you grow up in him. And I'm going to read that just in a minute. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. I'm going to tell you, I'm so tired of seeing people carried by every kind of a doctrine that comes through. They'll jump on that bandwagon and ride it for a while and jump on it and ride it back again through and another doctrine and another doctrine. I want you to know, Jesus said, my doctrine is not my doctrine, but my Father's doctrine. And in other words, I got it from my Father. And then I handed it down to the apostles and I'm the cornerstone. Come on, can you say, of the building, his doctrine is not his doctrine. He got it from the Father. My doctrine is not my doctrine. I got it from Jesus. And if it ain't Jesus' doctrine, you don't want a thing in the world to do with it. Now, I don't say you don't have bylaws and different things that you got to have like that. You have to have some things to run something by. You have to have rules, regulations. Now, let's read this a little bit forward. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I don't know, you probably don't have that up in West Virginia, but we sure have it down in Missouri. We got all kinds of deceivers running through the country. Got the people all confused, and the reason they're confused is because they don't grow up in him. They don't use these doctrines here, the Lord's doctrine. Now let's go down to here just a little bit further in verse 15. We've left all this stuff here behind, and it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Now I want you to get that. Speaking the truth in love, that's what we're supposed to do. We grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How many wants to grow up like that? I want to grow up into him. I didn't want to grow up into somebody like somebody else. They may be wrong, but he can't be wrong. He's the way. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man can get to the Father. You can't come to the Father, he said, but by me. Because I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. My Father sent. He said, he that sent me is always with me, because I do always the thing that pleases him. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans 1:28. So God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do whatever that they want to do. Just go ahead and do whatever you want to. God said, I'm done. You have a reprobate mind. I wouldn't want that, would you? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and measure of every part, making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. And that's when the church will start growing. Huh? You can't argue with a person that's really got the love in their heart. You might try to argue with them, but they'll be there praying. They'll not answer. Listen to what it says. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth be not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, I want to go to that scripture in St. John. Now, we got to know the truth. How many knows we got to know the truth? But who is the truth? Jesus said, I'm the way. John 14:6. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. And John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we find in St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. I love that song. Me and my wife sings it sometimes. This brother and sister Gaither just sang, I'm free. Oh, Lord, the day I got free. I'm free of the fears of tomorrow. I'm not afraid of tomorrow anymore. I'm not afraid of what tomorrow holds and haven't been for many, 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 many years. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. All those horrible things I've done. I'm free. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. I'm free at last. Oh, when we could sing that song and tears stream down our face and rejoice in the Lord and actually mean it. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I'm not afraid of what tomorrow holds. You know, fear has torment. Perfect love casteth out fear, but fear has torment. God wants us to be free from the guilt of the past and free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free and free in last. Prodigal son that she sang about, we want to get into that just a little bit. In the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, and this young man that we're talking about here, he took a notion that he wanted to do something else instead of be around there on the farm or wherever that they was at, and he wanted everything that belonged to him. The father told the elder brother, he said, all I have is thine. He said, you've been with me all the time. I guess he really felt, I could just see him fall to his face and say, oh, Lord, yes, it's mine. Huh? But in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, let's turn there, in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. So he divided it to them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. He was in a terrible shape. You know, this can be applied to a person. It can be applied to families. It could be applied to our nation. Did you know we're the youngest nation in the world that's a democracy, and the only one that's ever stood over 200 years? But it looks to me like we're headed for the hog pen. And I think I'm right, according to the word. It looks like our nation is headed that way. What our nation needs is a revival. And it's a mind revival. We need to purify our mind. And we're going to go on through this here just in a minute. And he sent him into this field to feed the swine. And while he was out there in the field feeding the swine, he was hungry. He was in need. But I want you to notice, I'm not going to take time to read it, but I want you to notice what he said. He came to himself. Oh, that we could all just come to ourselves. See, himself, when he realized what he had left, he left all the things that the Father had for him. And the things that the Father divided to him, he threw it away by living wrong, threw it away. Now, he's in the home, isn't it? Going around there with the swine, and the husk that's dumping out to the swine, he was so hungry he could eat that. I believe he looked down at his feet. He said, he looked at his robe if he still had one, and said, Lord, ain't it a mess? Holes in it, mud on it, that robe. I'm so hungry I could eat the husk with the swine. I'm hungry. And then all of a sudden, it snapped. He done what I've been preaching tonight. He made connection. Made connection in the spirit realm enough to change his mind. He said, I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here. I don't belong in here with this mud and the swine. I had a good robe. I had plenty to eat. Even the servants had plenty. And here I am out here. He said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go home and offer my body. I'll present my body to my Father. And I'll say to him, I'm not worthy to be a son. But whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You know the Father didn't even act like he heard him. He said to the servant, go get the best robe. All he had to do is just make up his mind. All we have to do is make up our mind. And if we make up our mind, Sister Buckner, get ready. We're going to have an altar call.